Communications.
Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, Jeff?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett. I'm your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Remember, you can listen to this show later in the week. Just go to shofarministries.net and take some notes, because really every program has good insights, and you'll want to remember them because you want your knowledge enhanced. So God expects us to have an enhanced knowledge of Him. We're supposed to pursue knowledge with diligence, and so we can achieve that total satisfaction or sanctification of spirit, soul, and even the flesh. And it's only achieved through time spent in God's Word. That's just not reading it like a magazine, but that's studying it. So that's why we have Sheila Crawford, and that's why we're studying the Bible line by line, and we're finding some amazing things. So let's open today's session with prayer. Glad you're all with us, new listeners, old listeners. And we're going to start out with, as soon as I find my prayer. Okay. There it is. Okay. We're going to go to the Lord before we start today. Adonai, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise. You are our refuge and strength, and you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. And Adonai, we just ask you to answer the requests that are sent to us. Answer them according to your grace in Yeshua. And answer those in Japan who are calling out to you right now in their distress. Answer them with salvation. We know the word for salvation is Yeshua. And we are unafraid. Even if the earth gives way, even if the mountains tumble into the sea, even if its waters rage and foam, and the mountains quake at its turbulence, nations were in turmoil, kingdoms were moved, his voice thundered forth, and the earth melted away. That's from Psalm 46. Adonai Sevaot is with us. We thank you, God, our fortress, the God of Jacob. May we always trust in you. Amen.
Thank you, John. And Shabbat Shalom to you, too, and happy Purim.
Well, Chag Sameach to you. We're going to have the Feast of Purim coming up.
Today. Sundown.
At sundown. That's good. Remember, now, your Bible questions can be emailed, or you can call us here. As well, and you can leave a detailed message if you call Sheila, but call us here at the station. We'll give out the numbers later on. But this is one of the few shows where you do have, when you get a question about Bible prophecy, and there are a lot of them, just call us. We'll do our best to answer, and if we can't answer it, we will go study it. We'll come back with the next show, and we will give you the answer then.
Betcha, and the next show, which will be April 2nd.
April 2nd. That's the first Saturday in April, and
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. That's right.
Earlier.
Now, Sheila, do we have any important announcements before we get started here?
Yeah. There's lots of announcements, but I just want to comment because I know this happened after the last radio program, I know that a lot of people have heard of my predicament and have been praying, and I just want to thank you very much. Seems like I always have some kind of a predicament going on, but we were flooded a few weeks ago. and told to evacuate out of the house at 4:30 in the morning. And
then I get the call at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Saying, can you come over here? And,
yeah, right.
Yes, and I'm glad I had my hip boots on, too.
Yeah, right. But I'm glad that you're a neighbor, and you're such a good neighbor. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know, Sheila, that was a disaster. We're all having our mini disasters, aren't we? I talked to some fellow believers, some fellow Christians last night, and everybody is having their own little mini disaster in their lives. It could be in their family, their finances, even their cars. It's just
everything. Even if it's just a minor thing, it's happening.
It's happening
incredible.
With greater frequency and greater intensity, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Different.
Why is that?
Well, I think, and after my little flood, which I'm still not back in the apartment yet, but anyway, I thought, well, Lord, what's going on? And the one thing that came to my spirit was the fact that I believe this suffering to the church helps us to long for his appearing even more. Because I got to tell you, when I was sitting over at your house that morning, you know, moping and groping, I just said, wow, what's going on?
I know.
It's Lord, making, come back soon. I'm ready for you.
Come back soon. We're ready for you. We're just, really, he's going to be the answer. You know, we're not going to be able to. It's a noble thing to fix this world, and if you're praying, you're out there, you're helping people, and you're donating your money and your time to good causes, that's great. But you know what? The Bible says this world isn't going to get fixed.
Well, John, why do you think that he is wanting the church to long for him even more than ever?
Maybe because he's got a reward for those who do that.
You betcha. I want to open up today's show with 1 Timothy 4. And I'm just going to read the first 8 verses.
Okay.
Because it says an awful lot about today's times.
Times we live in.
First of all, Paul tells Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That just means be ready all the time. You know? Convince. Rebuke. We're supposed to rebuke each other when we see each other screwing up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exhort. With all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That is really today. But according to their own fleshy, I'll add that, desires, because they have itching ears. And because they have these itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers that will feed that. And verse 4 says, and they will turn their ears away from the real truth and be turned aside to fables. I'm telling you what, there's a lot of fables out there today. First fable, oh, you don't want to learn about prophecy. It's so divisive. So many different opinions.
Now, that's fable number one. How about fable number two?
All roads lead to heaven.
Yes.
That's a huge one.
We all worship the same God.
Now, that's not amongst born-again Christians. That's
Yeah.
And then the other one is, oh, there's no rapture. We're going through the tribulation. And I could go on and on, but we'll stop there. But verse 5 says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Where does it say in the Bible that we won't endure afflictions?
It doesn't.
Nowhere.
It says those that are in Christ will.
That's right.
Well, you will suffer tribulations.
That's
some
right.
kind of tribulation, not
count
the great
yourself
tribulation.
Self-worthy.
Right.
If you're not going through any affliction, I would question your salvation.
That is a good point.
Do the work of an evangelist. Now, I know he was talking to Timothy, but I think that applies to all of us because we're supposed to share the gospel with everybody.
That's right.
Okay, and that's what an evangelist does. And, of course, fulfill your ministry. Everybody has one. You have a ministry, John. I have one. Every single person has their calling.
That's
correct?
That's totally correct.
6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he knew that he was about to leave, so he is giving some last-minute advice.
Well, you know, since he knows that his time on earth is very short, that he's going to give some very, very important advice here. The thing he thinks is most important for us to know.
That's right. Peter did that too. I love that one. But anyway, verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And it is a race. It's an adventure. And he wants us to continue on that race to secure your salvation, which is what I call total sanctification, which is a whole nother lesson, which we won't go into.
Okay.
But he says, I have kept the faith. Verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
And my translation says to all who have longed for him.
Longing
for him to appear.
Well, the word is agape. And agape is the highest love of all. So you have to love him, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to long for him to appear. And if you are longing for him, you will get a reward called the crown of righteousness. Because if you're really, truly, 100% totally righteous and sanctified, you will long for him.
That's right.
I think the two go together.
I think so, too.
So, for us to endure afflictions is so that we will long for him even more. That's really what happens.
Well, I think so, too. I think that the Messianic age starts looking really good right about now, and it's going to be a time of peace right now. We see war. We're surrounded by war. We're surrounded by bad economies. The nations are in turmoil, like what I was reading from
chaos.
Psalm 46. There's chaos. And you know that Yeshua is going to restore order when he sits on the throne of David and rules and reigns from Jerusalem.
Yes.
And we look forward to that.
I'm so looking forward to that, especially after my flood.
And that's the real peace. And that's going to be probably the end of our kind of tribulation we're going through. We should look at this as something very little compared to what we're going to experience.
Yeah. Well, right after my flood is when I think Japan had its earthquake, and I decided I gotta not complain.
Right, you gotta get it in perspective.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. It's the world is turning on its axis.
And I thought our problems that we're having, my wife and I are having, were bad until I talked to a dozen or more Christian brothers and sisters last night and found out they're going through very, very same things.
That's right.
So
lots of people are, and I'm sure that if we had phone calls just to tell us that people's problems, we'd get a lot of them.
We don't want to do that right now. So just, tie a knot in it, hang on, and listen to the show today, because we've got some great news and prophecy for you, Bible and prophecy.
That's right. Well, today is Purim, and of course, we're going to talk about that in a second, mm-hmm. but I think it's interesting that Hamas took this particular time today to shoot massive 50-round mortar barrage on Israeli locales from Gaza early this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, and they actually claim it. They admitted to it. However, Israel did retaliate, and the Palestinians report that 6 were injured in the Israeli air and artillery strikes.
So Israel didn't respond with
Not a fly, but just something. But it's interesting that they chose today. And of course,
yes,
Haman, which sounds, it's only one letter away from Hamas.
Well, you're right. It is. You don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about the story of Esther and
the
wicked Haman who tried to do away with all this.
That's right. Kill them all.
Yep.
Other things that are going on in the news, of course, we're seeing demonstrations all over now, even in Syria. And basically, I believe it's the Muslim Brotherhood trying to get in control of just about everything they can. They're certainly doing it in Egypt, okay? And apparently, Syria, I guess, I don't know exactly the reasons for it, but there's been protesting there.
Yes. There's been a lot.
I think the Muslim Brotherhood are behind that too.
I think so too, and I think they're using the general unrest of people right now. There's bad economies, in these countries too, and they're using the people's dissatisfaction,
mm-hmm.
and they're
mm-hmm.
kind of like pushing them towards.
They go in and pretend they're part of it.
Well, yeah, and they want to kind of, hey, let's push for this Islamic State.
Yeah.
Because that'll be, then everything will be great.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is all back from Iran, because Iran wants chaos, because that's what they believe is going to bring their Messiah to them, called the Mahdi.
The Mahdi, exactly.
Yeah. And then we've got Libya. We're about to enter another war. Talk about wars and rumors.
Rumors
of wars. Although the U.S. is, we are holding back right now, but there is some action going on over in Libya from the British and the French, I believe. Okay.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're doing some kind of air thing, but we're not doing anything yet. But I'm not sure why.
Obama's
holding off for a little bit, but anyway, we're about to do something, I guess. But the main thing is, there's just a lot of turmoil going on. And then, of course, you can look at Egypt and see what's happening over there. The Muslim Brotherhood are really, really taking over. And Egypt has been meeting with Hamas also.
Do you remember when, it was a year ago, you were teaching on Psalm 83 and how you said, how it says Egypt will be an enemy with Israel? And, it'll happen, and this will happen before the tribulation? You were teaching that.
Yeah.
And back then, we couldn't even conceive of that.
Yeah, because they had a peace agreement.
They had
it lasted for years.
For years, yeah.
Lots of years.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, within 1 month, Lebanon was taken over by Hezbollah, which was also a character player in Psalm 83. And so now there's definitely no peace with Israel there in Lebanon, and the same thing with Egypt. They don't have peace anymore either.
That's right.
And their main goal, Hamas, is to get rid of Israel. And they say it all the time.
They do. They do. And, you know, it's not just that we're aware of this, but the whole world's aware of what's going on in the Middle East, and they're concerned, I believe.
And then you look at Jordan, who has a peace agreement also, but the king had to fire his whole cabinet, and the new cabinet hates Israel, and the foreign minister has vowed to certainly not uphold the peace agreement, and the king has kind of got his hands tied because he wants to stay in power. So that's happening, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we know God's in control. Mm-hmm. We know Psalm 83 has to be fulfilled. And I encourage you that if you have not heard the teaching on Psalm 83, that you go back to the archives on my webpage of, I think it's around June of just last year, 2010, and you can hear it.
Yes, and you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. It's very prophetic.
Yes.
And we're seeing it come to pass.
And we're seeing it come to pass. I believe it will happen before we're out of here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good thing to study.
Well, we have to study prophecy. You know, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And by the way, that's with a C-Y, not an S-Y.
Yeah, and remember, Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
Okay.
So you might ask, what's the difference between...
I might ask that, but you never know. Well, it's prophecy and prophesy.
Right. One is a C-Y and one is an S-Y. The difference is the S-Y is the more thus saith the Lord type of thing that's not really biblical. It's what someone receives and gives to a person.
Oh, okay.
Okay? A word of the Lord, so to speak.
Okay.
But the C-Y, which is what I study, is all the teachings of the prophets given by God in the Bible, written down.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly. Now, I took the time to look up the word prophecy in that verse, and it says the spirit of Yeshua, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That word means predictions.
Yeah.
That's what it means. That means that we're seeing things predicted in the Bible. God says that he knows, he declares the end from the beginning.
That's right.
That's one of our God's traits. And he expects us to follow along.
It's so important.
Yes. He's saying, pay attention. I'm telling you what's going to happen.
I mean, how are we going to get that reward? Okay. Award, I should say, maybe. Or reward. I don't know.
It's a reward. It's a crown. It's a crown.
How are we going to get it if we're not studying prophecy? Because that's the only way we can get it.
Yeah, that's the only way you can get that crown.
And yet we've got prominent ministers today standing in the pulpits. And I heard of another one just recently, and I won't say his name, although I should, but I won't, who's saying, don't give me any more prophecy books. I'm not reading prophecy, and I'm not going to teach it.
Mm-hmm. And
that's awful.
That's awful and sad, too. If you're in a church right now where they're not teaching prophecy, you should actually demand it. You know?
Maybe it's your fault for not telling your minister that you want to learn about it.
It could be your fault. We need to know about it. It's not unknowable.
Right. It's sad. Anyway, and it's what makes my blood boil, as you can probably tell. But look at the earthquakes. They've increased over the last 20 years, and they're also higher on the Richter scale. My goodness, Japan's a whole island moved 8 feet.
That's right. And these disasters are occurring with greater frequency and greater intensity, like Jesus said. Matthew 24, sign of the age right there.
That's right. And now, and how's this going to affect us? Of course, it does affect us because Japan wants to cash in its U.S. Treasury bonds.
Ooh.
That means that we have to start giving back the money, and we don't have it. It's going to affect our economy. We can't pay our debt back to Japan, so this is not good at all.
Not good. What about that radiation?
Yeah, the radiation fallout, there's a small chance that it'll be carried here with the wind. And more nuclear facilities are in question. But it's definitely very dangerous to the people in Japan because it settles in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then it affects the food. Think of all those rice fields over there, and it will cause disease in humans and animals. And we're not going to be buying food from Japan, and that's going to affect their economy also.
Mm, it's a very bad thing, a very bad thing.
The dollar continues to be devalued. Gas prices are rising. Our economy is going downwards. Our national debt just can't be paid. This crisis is going to be so bad that people will actually beg for a new currency,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, will probably only be backed by gold and silver. So in order to get out of debt, though, America will say, we'll take the new currency. And again, it's that one world currency that's coming for a one world government. It has to happen. That's why our economy is faltering right now.
Well, isn't it the economy of a lot of countries right now? We're all faltering. We're heading towards one world brokenness.
It's a solution for a created crisis,
mm-hmm.
which began years ago, you know?
Okay. Was it Jeremiah 30:11? Is beginning to be fulfilled. Now that the Lord said, you know, I'll make a full end. Is that the one?
That's right. Full end of
all the nations.
Where I've scattered
the Jews. Yes.
Yeah.
We're all going to come to a screeching halt. That's what it's saying. Yeah. All of the nations.
And I'm not saying this to scare anybody. I'm saying this so that you'll get excited about the Lord's return. This is prophecy and the churches aren't teaching it. You need to understand that we're getting close to his return. That should make you happy, although I hear people saying, well, I hope he doesn't come back till after I hold my vacation.
Or how about after I finish college, or we get the house paid off.
Yeah, or I have a family, or I have kids and all that. No, that doesn't mean you love God number one in your life.
You're not putting him number one in your life.
That's
and
right.
That's sad, too.
And Iran just continues to ship weaponry to Hezbollah and Lebanon and Gaza, now through the Suez Canal. And by the way, that was never allowed before with Egypt. But again, Egypt's new leaders are getting chummy with Syria.
And that's home to Hezbollah, right?
That's right.
As well, too, I understand the IDF is constantly intercepting weapons that are being smuggled into Gaza and Lebanon. That's mm-hmm. even after they busted the tunnels.
That's right.
And they're still trying to get weapons. Why? They're getting ready to attack.
That's right.
Mm.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to take a little quick break here. And when we come back... After a song by you, John.
Yeah. If you'd like Pastor Sheila to speak at your church, give her a call, and she would be happy to call your pastor personally to see if it would be beneficial to his sheep. So call her at 440-834-9006.
Give the phone lines.
Okay, the phone lines are open now. For those questions, it's 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Now, we'll be right back after a few short words and a song, so don't go away.
That's right.
Need to raise money, but you're tired of washing cars and having bake sales?
Not again.
Do what thousands of other Christian groups are doing. Go to ChristianFundraising.com. At ChristianFundraising.com, you'll learn how Christian groups are raising thousands of dollars fast. One Christian group recently raised more than $10,000. Stop selling candy and cookies. When you fundraise with the Samaritan Card, your friends and family will save up to 50% at thousands of retailers and restaurants nationwide. Fundraising is easy when people save money.
Thank you.
Go to ChristianFundraising.com today to get your free fundraising kit. You'll learn how to take the stress out of fundraising. We make it simple.
ChristianFundraising.com. Ooh.
ChristianFundraising.com is your answer to fast and easy fundraising. Your free fundraising kit will show you how. Visit ChristianFundraising.com today and put some real fun into your fundraising.
Woohoo!
ChristianFundraising.com.
The Word is pleased to feature the Bible Answer Man as our Ministry of the Month. Today we continue our conversation with Hank Hanegraaff.
If, in fact, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, if, in fact, Christ's resurrection is the earnest for our own resurrections, how then should we live? Should we live as those who have our sights focused on mean earthly vanities? Or should we raise our gaze to eternal verities? Look at the people who experienced the resurrected Christ. They were scared, scattered disciples. But after they had seen the resurrected Christ, they were no longer concerned about their own prosperity or popularity or being politically correct. Instead, they were concerned about transforming the world.
The Bible Answer Man, weeknights at 6 on AM 1220, The Word.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
And just like I told you, we are right back after that beautiful song.
And by you.
That's right. And you're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We've spent the first half of the hour talking about Bible prophecy in the news today. And we're going to spend the next half hour on the Feast of Purim. But before that, I got to remind you, just because we had a flood, Shofar Assembly is down, but they're not out. We're going to meet, not this month, but starting in April, April 9th. Please join us. I know some of you listen to
us. I think
it'll
be dry by then.
It'll be dry. It'll have new carpet, new paint, and it's thoroughly worked over. Trust me on that. But April 9th, that's in Burton, Ohio. Call us for directions if you've never been there before, 834-9006, and Sheila will be happy to tell you how to get out there.
I will. Leave a message. I'll call you back.
That's right. So, okay.
All right, let's go on.
We got a feast coming up
here. It's today.
And it starts at sunset today.
Sunset today and, of course, tomorrow.
And it's called Purim, and it's not one of the major feasts, but it is definitely a one that's observed in the whole country of Israel.
Oh, yes, and it's a very happy feast. I mean, they should be happy. I mean, if it wasn't for Esther, there would be no Jewish people today at all.
That's right.
You know, it's so amazing, John, when you look back in history, really look back in history and see how often Satan has tried to annihilate the Jewish race, as we see in the book of Esther.
And this is just another incident of that. Isn't that true? Now, we suggest that you read the story again. And
absolutely.
Look at the characters closely, and you'll see so much typology.
Oh, yes.
I even noticed that in the commentary, if you even get a Jewish commentary on it, they see the same things. They see, you know, this guy represents God. This mm-hmm. is a, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it's all about. That's mm-hmm. how he speaks to us. Through pictures a lot.
So maybe somebody's not familiar with the story of the Book of Esther and how this festival came about. So
it goes like this.
Okay.
It opens up with the current queen, Vashti. She's called to appear at a lavish party with her husband, the king. But she said, no, I don't feel like going. So because of that, she lost her place in the kingdom. Then a search was made for a new queen. And after 2 years, I like that,
mm-hmm.
the beautiful and submissive Esther, an unknown Jew, by the way, he did not know that she was Jewish, and ward of her older Jewish cousin Mordecai was chosen. And now in Hebrew, her name actually means Hadassah, which means myrtle, a symbol of everlasting life and a pleasant fragrance.
Now.
But her Persian name of Esther means something hidden.
Hidden.
Like a star.
Something hidden.
And stars are indeed hidden, especially in the daytime.
Right. They are hidden, but they're still there.
That's
so
right.
That just remember that. And also at this time, weren't the Jews, all of the Jews living in this big, big world kingdom? They were scattered, really, weren't they? This was
Well, it was 127 provinces.
Okay, they were scattered into 127.
Right.
This must have been after one of the destructions of the temples. Okay.
Well, it was after Babylon.
After Babylon captivity. Okay, so now they're all over this whole, and it's a whole Persian empire, I guess you could call it. And it's ruled by this king.
Yes.
This king, and he ends up marrying...
Yes.
A Jewish girl.
Yes. Actually, in last year's program, I think it was February, again on my archives, we go into a lot more depth and detail, and we go into some of the hidden codes and acronyms and acrostics, messages hidden, because on the surface of the Book of Esther, there's no name of God, actually.
Yeah, God's not mentioned. The name of God is not in this book.
No reference to worship or faith.
Yeah.
No prediction of the Messiah. No mention of heaven or hell. There's actually nothing religious about it. But it's included in canon.
Now, why is that?
Well, basically because everything, there's so much hidden there. Stop. We had a little choke there. Anyway, her name actually means hidden star, so a lot of thing is hidden in the Book of Esther.
That's a clue.
And you have to look at Bible codes, acrostics in the Hebrew, and that's what we did on last year's program. So I highly recommend that you go to my archives and look it up. It talks about Purim. Everything is labeled on the radio archives, and look at, listen to the details here. But basically, Mordecai, a Jew, he would never bow down to Haman, which was a custom to all prime ministers in Persia. But Mordecai, being a Jew, wouldn't do it. So Haman just gets so angry, and he plots to exterminate the entire Jewish race. And again, something Satan's been trying to do since the beginning of time.
Oh, well, you know, Haman being the king's prime minister, he throws a lot of weight around. Now, isn't he descended from the Amalekites?
Yes,
and,
he is.
And God told King Saul specifically, King Saul of Israel, to annihilate them many years before. And here he's a descendant. This Haman is a descendant of that. And he holds the highest position other than the king.
That's right. And we see the consequences of this disobedience.
Saul's disobedience.
In the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saul's disobedience led to this.
Right. And therefore Haman, and now this is interesting too, Mordecai was actually a descendant of Saul. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they're caught reenacting a similar scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier, which is another proof that history repeats itself.
No, I did not know that. In other words, if Saul would have been obedient, the Jews would not have been facing the situation of total
annihilation.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
That was,
yeah. Because mm-hmm. Haman is second in command under the king. But as long as Mordecai lives, he cannot have any peace. Oh, my gosh, he just is furious. So out of this bitter jealousy, Haman succeeds in destroying Mordecai's favor with the king and then proceeds to construct gallows on which to hang Mordecai and, of course, totally annihilate all the Jews in all the provinces. And when Mordecai realizes Haman's evil plan, he beseeches his cousin, who he raised, and now queen, her name is Esther, Queen Esther. And again, remember, the king still does not know she is Jewish. But Mordecai asked her to intercede with the king on behalf of the Jews.
And this was taking a big risk because in that king's court, no one could enter the king's, no one could enter the king's presence under the penalty of death unless he was first called by the king. And that even included his wife.
That's
so
right.
She, but just by going, walking into his court, she could die.
That's right. But he loved her so much that the king agrees and promises her anything just about. So anyway, it turns out that at a banquet, now the 17th of the first month.
The first month being Nisan, if you're with us on
the biblical calendar. She reveals the plot of the wicked Haman to kill the Jews, along with the truth about herself being Jewish. So the king orders Haman and his 10 sons to be hung on the very gallows that Haman had made for the Jews. What a twist. The Jewish people are spared. And the stepson of Esther, by the way, was the king who gave the decree for the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which started the clock ticking in the great prophecy of Daniel 9:24-27. But anyway, there are many pictures of learning in this book, and I hope, again, that you will try to find your own. Read it over. Read it a couple times.
What are some of the obvious ones?
Yeah, like dates, okay? Like the 17th of Nisan, okay, when Haman and his sons are hung. That is a particular important date. Not only did it represent new life to the Jews and death of their enemy, on the 17th of Nisan prior, the Israelites actually crossed through the Red Sea, giving them new life from bondage while defeating Pharaoh and his army, which is also a picture of defeating Satan and his demons. And here's another one. Noah's Ark rested on Mount Ararat on Nisan 17, representing new life to the human race. And there's more!
There's more!
Jesus rose from the dead, giving new life to all who believe, defeating Satan, of course, on Nisan 17. Now tell me God isn't a date setter.
That's right.
He set this up.
He set it up. And he can because he is God.
That's right.
Now, Haman's also the type of the Antichrist, right?
Well, of course. And he rules over the world, which is divided into 10 regions, the Antichrist will. Did you ever wonder maybe that's why Haman had 10 sons? Because there's a picture of the Antichrist who rules over 10
over
nations.
Over the 10 nations.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
Hmm.
But anyway, this month, which on the Hebrew calendar is the month of Adar, Haman's lot fell to hang all the Jews throughout the kingdom of 127 provinces, which again included Israel. And of course, now the festival of Purim, which means lots, because they casted lots to find out when all the Jews would be hung. Well, that didn't happen, and that's the celebration. And then it ended up that Haman was actually hung on those gallows on Nissan 17.
He probably wouldn't have done good in Las Vegas either.
You're too funny. Anyway, it's a time of celebration, a time of fun. The Jews play games, they dress in costumes, and it's joyful remembrance. And during the reading of Esther, which is also called...
called the Megillah or the Esther Scroll.
That's right. Mordecai and Esther are cheered. But every time Haman's name is mentioned, it goes, boo!
Yeah, it is a fun time. They have a three-cornered cookie filled with fruit.
And, and they're very good. You happened to make some yesterday, John.
Yes,
you did. You gave me some.
No, I planned that. I didn't just happen to make them. But it's made in the shape of Haman's hat.
That's right, Persian hat.
Yeah, a Persian hat that was three-cornered.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, the scriptures also say that in the last chapter of Esther that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memory of them perish from their descendants. So that's why we're having, that's why it's a party.
That's so, right.
Right.
He wants us to remember these things on how he stepped in and spared the Jews, just like he's going to step in with Psalm 83 when that begins.
That's right.
He's going to, the Jews will never, ever, ever be totally annihilated, but Satan doesn't ever give up. Because he's stupid.
Yes.
No, he's that smart, actually, but he's awful stupid.
He's very, very threatened by the Jews, and that's, of course, our Savior came through the Jews and through the line of Judah.
That's right. And I suggest, parents, that you read the book of Esther either tonight or tomorrow. Maybe have a little Purim party with your children for a great learning experience of God's Word. How else better to teach children the Word of God but to actually do it.
And it's a great story, parents. You know, you can teach your children these stories, and this one is so good that they even make a play out of it, too, you know. And if you want more details about this feast and its hidden messages,
again,
what can you do? Hey, just go to the radio podcast program dated February 20th, 2010, and you'll hear all about it.
Oh, that's I didn't know what date it was. There it is. Okay, so now... we're going to answer some questions that have come in through the email. Some people don't really like to always talk on the air, so they give me some email questions.
That's,
okay?
And that works, too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the one question that comes in the most, it seems like, is where do the Palestinians come from?
Oh, that's a good question.
So I think I will try to give a little bit of a summary of that, okay? First of all, I believe the Palestinians are actually the descendants of Esau. Now, Esau was Jacob's twin who sold his birthright, and they became avid enemies. Well, they migrated to Edom, which, if you're looking at a map, it's the area southeast of Israel in today's southern Jordan. Now, that's where they started off at, but they did not stay there because the descendants of Ishmael, who had settled in the area of Arabia, and they are called the Nabataeans, okay, and that was from Ishmael's son, Nabaoth. Okay, is that how I'm saying it?
Okay, yeah.
Nabaoth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They decided, well, they liked that land of Edom, so they kicked the descendants of Esau out of there. And the Edomites lost, so they moved over to the west on the other side of the Jordan, which is southern Israel today.
Okay.
Now, the Greeks called them by their Greek name, the Idumeans.
Idumeans, okay. Oh, what about Herod? Herod? Herod was the
All the Herods were Idumeans.
Idumeans, okay.
But remember, they converted to Judaism when the Jewish army reconquered the land about 126 B.C., okay, after the Antiochus Epiphanes thing, they reconquered. And so you were either to die, leave the land, or convert to Judaism.
That was the terms of the conqueror. That's what they had to do.
That's right. They could leave, or they could convert. So for this reason, the Romans promoted Herod, who was a converted Jew, forced, as king of Israel, thinking the Jews would accept a proselyte better than a Roman. And they weren't going to put a full-fledged Jew in there. After all, they did claim to be Jewish, but history shows their hearts were not. And we see the scripture in Revelation 3:9 that actually says they say they are Jews, but they are not.
Mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That could be referring to these Idumeans.
Okay.
But anyway, when the Jews left the diaspora in 70 AD now, the Idumeans stayed, and the Romans renamed the area Palestine, which is actually Latin for Philistia.
Yeah, so that name was for the original inhabitants, wasn't it, the Philistines?
Yeah, that we're mostly in Gaza.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's interesting that they were the enemies of Israel, and today the enemies of Israel occupy Gaza.
Those are the real Palestinians, I think.
Well, anyway, that they were descendants from Ham, according to Genesis 10:14. So anyway, that's what I believe who the Palestinians are. In 1948, the Palestinians were told by their leaders to leave the area until the upcoming war was over against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the 1967 war. And when Israel won, they were not allowed to return. So now there are also Palestinians in Jordan that remain in tents and makeshift block houses, so the international community will feel sorry for what the Jews did to them. So they got Palestinians in Israel and also Palestinians in Jordan.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And the Palestinians are, I remember at one time back in 1948, everyone that lived there was called a Palestinian. Whether if you were Jewish, you were called a Palestinian.
Well, again, yeah, maps, they actually call the area Palestine.
Palestine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there is some confusion to who these people actually are.
I know. Yeah. The main thing is you just remember their enemies.
Yeah, that's the simple reason.
I do
yeah.
have to say, though, when I was over in Israel, there were some Palestinians that were quite nice to me. In fact, some of them were even had converted to Catholicism.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't say all.
You shouldn't say all. And also, too, a lot of them do really well because of the Jewish business community that's brought so much money into Israel.
Yes.
And their jobs are tied in with the jobs of the Jews and their businesses.
That's
they
right.
don't want to.
And if you remember the last time I went to Israel, I actually stayed with Palestinian family for a week.
That's
right. And they were very nice to me and very cordial. And I did get a chance to witness, and it was interesting because I said, the reason that I believe my Bible is true and your Quran is not. And I was taking a little bit of a chance, but I think he liked me.
Mm-hmm.
At least he seemed to. And I said, is because of prophecy. There are predictions, hundreds of them, probably thousands, in my Bible, with so many that have come true years after they were written down, where I haven't been able to find any in your Quran. Now, granted, I have only in English. And I said, is there any in the Arabic? Maybe that's, is it different? Do you have predictions made
mm-hmm.
by Muhammad that actually have come true? And he actually could not answer me and says, well, I'm sure there are. I'll have to find out and get back with you. Well, he never got back with you, did he?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that distinguishes our Bible from all the other so-called holy books that are out there.
We're the only one.
It's the only one that this is what makes our Bible unique is prophecy. This is what makes our scriptures unique, one of the things. And it's a very
Absolutely.
Important thing.
Absolutely.
So let's not diss prophecy.
That's right. All right, here's some of the other quick questions.
Ooh, got more.
Does the Antichrist know who he is? I don't think so. Not
you don't
yet.
Think?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Hmm.
He wants to rule the world, but he's not thinking that he's the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist alive now? Well, my goodness, I hope he is.
You do?
I hope so. I want to get the show on the road.
I would guess by the way the events are going right now that he probably is somewhere.
That's right. Will the mark of the beast be forced on children?
Hmm.
I don't think so. I don't think it's
going
to matter. It'll be mostly the parents.
Hmm.
Doesn't say. Well, here's a good question. Will we watch events on earth after the rapture? In other words, will we have balcony seats?
Well, that's interesting. I've heard people say that that's what we'll be doing.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
We were going to be very busy having our honeymoon.
Okay.
That's right, with Christ. What do the Jews think about Jesus?
Now, that's a loaded question.
That is a loaded one, and I'm going to answer it real simple.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that he was a prophet sent by God, but not God. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
There's some that believe he was the first Messiah, and they're waiting for the second one. So you've got that. You have as many different opinions on this subject in Judaism than you have, you know, than there is different branches of Judaism.
That's right.
You know, so that's a very, and a lot of Jewish people are coming to faith in their Messiah, in Jesus, in record numbers.
Because it's a foreshadow of what's going to happen during the tribulation.
Yes.
Just like every single sign that we're seeing today is just a foreshadow of how it's going to be during the tribulation. We are seeing the Braxton Hicks contractions that happen to a woman in labor before the labor begins, because the tribulation period is the labor or the birth pangs of the Messiah.
That's right. And labor means things, these pains, these pangs come with greater frequency the closer you get, and greater intensity the closer you get.
That's
right.
So
that's why everything seems to be getting worse.
Well, that's right.
It's because it is.
That's right. Right. And we're going to see more earthquakes like that 9 in Japan.
Yeah,
too.
And God forbid, you know, we don't want to see them, but Jesus said they'll happen. So it's a good reason to be ready and tell your friends, everybody you know, about the Lord. And if you listening out there have never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, maybe you're concerned you might be one of those that have just a head knowledge and not really a heart conviction. Listen, all you have to do is just get on your knees right now and repent. And repent particularly of those individual sins which seem to be lingering in your life. And you know what? God will be right there to meet you. Then commit or recommit your body, soul, and spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. He's everybody's Messiah. But always, it's your choice to choose him. That makes the decision, the ball's in your court. Now, where do you want to spend eternity? You can decide. Remember, God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide by yourself who when you die, where you will go when you die. Because the soul never dies. We have that choice, and it's being offered to us every day. If you are saved and you know the Lord is your Savior, tell someone else. If you're not, you can do it right now. And pray to God, and you can decide right now where you want to spend your eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you have any special questions for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or your group that you have meeting at home, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And I got to mention this, all your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
And right, can keep us, give us some more airtime.
Airtime is very expensive. We believe, as well as all those that have helped us throughout the years, that this is a very important message to get out. And God will bless you when you give.
Right, because prophecy isn't being taught.
Prophecy is not being taught. And now it's being taught. Starting to see little glimmers that it's being taught. So consider actually helping us in this endeavor. You can use PayPal, or you can send your gifts directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burchin, 44021. And when you donate, you get the monthly newsletter. And you get if you want to check out newsletters and previous radio shows, remember, they're all archived on our website.
That's
and
right.
We got a great study for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101, available on my on Sheila's webpage, shofarministries.net, or just call Sheila at 440-834-9006. We're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing today. Yivrechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till April 2nd.
Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is...